At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from Major League Baseball, golf, NBA, the Stanley Cup playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Hello and welcome to the Pirates Fan Forum here on DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. I'm your host, Gary Morgan. With me, as always, my good friend, Jim Stamm. He's got a pen. That means he's serious, folks. He's going to be taking down stats right now.
Yeah, I'll get the red one out for our guests today, just in case.
Yep, joining us for the first time, a new friend that I met on Facebook here, Neil Kaiko.
I think I pronounced you got it correctly, right. Neil.
All right.
You got it right.
He lives down in Maryland, but his family lineage takes him back to Pittsburgh, and you guys know what that makes of you. No matter where the hell you live, he's a Pittsburgher. So, welcome to the show, Neil.
Thank you for having me. I'm really looking forward to being on here.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a good time. We have a lot to talk about, don't we, Jim?
We do.
The plan for this show, you know, Neil got to see a little bit of that, like, as this starts to develop. You know, I think we talked a couple weeks ago about him being on, and he's like, what are we going to talk about? I'm like, we'll see. And then, you know, as 2 weeks develop, you know, he kind of is throwing ideas at me. I'm like, let's see how hot that is when we get there. You know?
Yeah.
So here we landed, and I think we're going to start with Jared Jones. Super interesting quote from Derek Shelton, saying that he was allowing Jared Jones basically to be counted in this competition for the opening day rotation. And Jim, that was a little bit surprising to me to hear. I kind of felt like he was in a competition to, like, make himself at least one of the first call-up type guys. You know what I mean? And right. Ultimately, I think that's where he'll land. But to hear the coach say that he's in that competition for real, bro, did that catch you off guard a little bit?
Yeah, probably a little bit. I was just glad to hear it, because I automatically assumed that they would be very, very cautious in their approach, kind of like how they've been. What I will say is good, because I think that he's definitely shown so far that he can, you know, be in the conversation. And at some point, to me, Gary, we have to get to the point where we let guys earn spots regardless of their situation. And if he goes out and it's an area where they have need, he goes out and shows it, he deserves that chance. You know, I saw some people talking about they'll never do it, they're not going to do it with Skeens. Skeens is a different animal. So, I, you know, as far as how you're going to look at that, I was glad to hear it. I think he has a legitimate shot. I actually think they're serious about it.
Neil, here's an exact quote from Derek Shelton about Jared Jones. He says, he's quiet, but he's got those eyes that he's locked in all the time. You walk by him in the locker room, he's in a continual state of focus. I think you see that on the mound by the way he attacks people. When your coach is talking about you like that on the mound, Neil, I mean, like, yeah, the kid is in this, right?
He is. And I mean, I haven't really been able to see everything from what he's done, but everything from, like, his fastball of what I see has been topping out at almost 100 miles an hour. I mean, everything, he hasn't really, the walks have been low from what I've seen. Strikeouts, he hasn't really been giving up any runs, even just in spring training games. And it seems like he wants to prove that he deserves a spot in this rotation. Now, whether or not he actually gets it, I mean, what do they have to lose? I mean, it's like Jim said, they are making guys earn their spots. So they need to make them earn their spots. And it seems like he's earning it. So that's what I've seen so far.
Yeah, because Jim, the only reason I can think logistically that he shouldn't just get a 40-man spot and jump right up is if, you know, you feel like you're going to have to waste a guy that you're not ready to waste. Like, if it looks like Rowanzi Contreras is that fifth guy and there's just nothing you can do with him, you know, if he's not pitching well and you think you could fix him a little bit, you still want to stash him. I'm not 100% sure how they get around that. That would be the only issue.
It is the caveat with it. You know, at some point, I do think that their words and actions have to start lining up. And they talked about, you know, wanting to play better, starting to compete. I just think that sometimes you're going to have to start making some tough decisions. And yeah. If he continues to pitch like he has and like he's looked, and look, he's at the age where I do think, you know, last year was a little bit of a mixed bag for him. Really did well in Double A, Triple A, not as well, maybe just a tiny bit underwhelming. But he is at the age where you could conceivably see him making a jump, yeah. You know, developmentally. And maybe he has done that. So I'm really okay with that. If it comes down to making a tough decision, but it is the caveat with it is that it creates some roster conundrums, if you will.
You know, a lot of that stuff too, post jump, you know, once they promote a guy up, you know, sometimes these guys are already like getting close to like pitching a little bit more difficult innings, you know, and they're piling up a little bit differently on them. And Jones is a guy already that, he hasn't been showing the ability to stick in games late, and they were really trying to get him to do that a little bit more last year. So maybe it was a little bit tougher innings, a little bit more fatigue. So by the time he gets to AAA, tougher competition, a little bit more tired, maybe that kind of explains those numbers a little bit. I think the stuff plays, Jim. That's what's important. I think that's the stuff that's undeniable. The stuff plays.
Yeah. Yeah, the arm talent is clearly there. I do like, yeah, you know, I've mentioned like, and I think that's something they keep an eye on with him too. Is like, does he have the size to be like an everyday, you know, starter? It's a slight concern. Some guys don't have an issue with it. The other thing though that I did want to talk about with that is. And Shelton brought this up, and it's a super, super good point. When you get a guy, you know, you talk about maybe his size and they were trying to get him like pitching longer into games and making sure he can hold up to that.
Yeah.
But there is an advantage to guys that maybe aren't as big, but they can still bring it. And what that is like you get very used to as a hitter. Seeing guys certain sizes throw the baseball and throw it hard. And it is a guy that might not be your typical huge 6'3", 6'4", guy that's 220, 230. When a guy that's a slightly undersized throws hard, it seems even harder than it is. It gets on you faster than you realize. And it's something that Shelton brought up, which is it's a sneaky fastball that's already got a lot of life to it. So yeah. It can work in his favor.
That's very true. And I think we see the same thing with him that a lot of the other young pitchers struggle with, which, you know, he does have 3 walks already this year. He is keeping the runs from scoring, but, you know, he's putting people on base unnecessarily. I think we've seen Luis Ortiz do the same thing. Rowanzi Contreras, when they get to 2 strikes, Quinn Priester as well, they get to 2 strikes, for some reason, the young pitchers in this system have an aversion to throwing that 3rd strike. They really want to get you fishing. And the thing is about Jones, he's got the stuff to have you fish. You know what I mean? Like that fastball you have to respect, but he can come back with that slider and eat you up if it's close. That's his problem. It's not always close.
Yeah, I think that that's a big thing for pitchers, and maybe one of that like final step in figuring it out is when you can get a guy down 0-2, 1-2 in the count. There's a fine line between getting a guy to fish and then still making sure you're putting him away in an advantageous count and not losing him. And I think that that's that last little piece that some guys all across baseball, quite frankly, Pirates pitchers especially, have had a hard time figuring out.
So, Neil, you figure at least Shelton's comments mean that, or they at least mean this. Jared Jones is not going to be one of those first cut guys. They're gonna let him stick around and be in this competition a little bit later. So we're gonna see them stretch him a little bit here. Probably gonna get two more starts out of him. I bet you'll see 3 or 4 innings next time. Maybe they even let him go 5 at some point.
Yeah, I mean,
how's that gotta look for him for him to win? Does he have to throw a shutout ball?
No, but what we want to see from him is, can you go longer? I mean, from everything I had, the slider, the fastball, everything is looking good. But one thing I've heard from him is that they still want to work on with him is the change up. And you want, cause as a starter, I mean, to leave me, you got to be able to deliver a lot of pitches, and they need to be diverse, because different batters are going to react to certain things. Well, to react to certain pitches, like maybe Bryce Harper doesn't like swinging at cutters. Maybe I don't know what, I don't know that for sure. Don't quote me on that.
I don't think any lefties like swinging at cutters.
No, but you get the idea. And that maybe he doesn't like, Schwarber doesn't like swinging at changeups. So he needs to be able to deliver all the pitches and go longer. So
yeah, I think he's got 3 in the bank right now. I feel really good about 3 of his pitches. Jim, the changeup, we just started to see a little bit. So let's see how that evolves as the spring moves on. We got to take a quick break. We kind of have to pay the bills, and I just got carried away talking. So we'll take a quick break. When we come back, let's pick up talking about Paul Skeens, because he's going in the other direction, right?
DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores. Track the latest stats. Chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
Every Stearns & Foster mattress is handcrafted with the finest materials for irresistible comfort every single night. Now, save up to $800 on select adjustable mattress sets only at stearnsandfoster.com. Lesser savings may apply.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of 1. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And... and he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, welcome back to the Pirates Fan Forum here on DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. Don't forget to click like. There's like lots of you watching right now. That like thing should be just exploding.
Come on, it's not that hard.
That's right. Let's talk about Paul Skenes, because you know the Pirates did the expected. They're sending him down. We knew that was going to happen. He's got 6.5 innings of professional baseball in him, you know, so clearly that was going to happen. The stuff plays. I think Paul himself has kind of spoken to needing to figure out what gets guys out, you know, and I don't think that he's really taken aback by this too much. Neil, anything catch you off guard with Paul Skenes being told that he's going to AAA?
No.
The minors. I guess specifically they haven't said where yet.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. Because one, I think they want to make him as part of the core that they're building. And he even said it himself. Like, I'm still trying to figure out how to pitch to all these certain hitters. So to me, when you do call him up to the big leagues, you know, I wouldn't want to pitch him against a more powerful lineup, like let's say Atlanta or the Dodgers. I pitch him maybe to me, like, you know,
you
like
get called up to the majors, Neil.
No, but they seriously, think
you can face any lineup.
I know, but yeah, you sort of see what I'm saying, like, because you know he's still trying to figure out how to pitch to these hitters. And, you know, like,
there's nobody, you know what I mean, that plays professional anything that thinks that way. I promise you.
Okay.
I promise you that. But the Steelers, no matter how bad they look, think they can beat the best team in football.
No, but yeah. I mean, yeah.
Everybody that shows up to the ballpark is not afraid to face any lineup. But, so I'm just going to stop you there, because Paul Skenes, of all people, is not afraid of that. Look, he's carrying that blonde around. He ain't afraid of nothing, right? So, and he's huge too. So, Jim, we have to talk a little bit more about Mr. Skenes in another direction. This is really about getting him on a schedule, right? I mean, this is about, like, he was going from a college schedule. He needs to go to a professional schedule, right? They probably could have knocked off some of this last year, you would think. But they already felt he was pushed too far on innings when they drafted him. So it's going to start this year. How far do they need to go, really?
You know, look, I'm really okay with them being super careful with this guy. Like, he's just too important, you know. So last year, how they handled it, I don't have an issue with that. They got him in spring training camp right now. They are letting him get a taste of big boy, you know, big boy atmosphere and big boy pitching and hitting. And I just feel like they'll send him down. They're going to have him, you know, tighten some things up, get him on a schedule. I think he's close. I don't think anybody would argue that. And of course, it's advantageous for them to do so for a lot of reasons. So if there's one guy that I feel like this is the right approach, it's Paul Skenes. I'm not going to mess around with him.
I agree.
We only got to see him pitch once, and that's if you were smart enough to know how to go to the internet and find it, right? So, I mean, this spring. So, I guess we haven't really had fans get eyes on him very much, and we only got to see it per se one time where it wasn't just awkward fan videos. You know what I mean? And I appreciate everybody that did that.
Yeah. I mean,
it ain't the same thing. You know what I mean? What I guess what I wanted to say is I was worried about his fastball shape. I'm not hearing anybody worried about his fastball shape. So that leads me to believe that it's fine, right? And I'm reading the numbers for the one game that he pitched in where he had StatCast available, which is ridiculous as well.
Yeah.
And in that one, the break looked fine. So I feel like that issue's over. Haven't seen him throw too much of the changeup. He's thrown the slider. He's thrown his cutter. He's thrown his sinker. I don't know, man. I feel like he's probably checked a lot of the boxes that Ben Charrington's claiming he needs to check, which is just GM speak. But what more is there for him to learn besides just stretching out, Jim? I mean, this really is pretty much that simple.
I think so. I think it's a little bit easier for them to kind of manage his innings down there a little bit, because they're going to do that regardless. Like, whether he's, you know, in AAA or when he gets called up, they're going to be careful with him, even though, you know, and he's the type of guy, he's very much going to be like a David Bednar, which is, yeah, I'm fine. I can pitch.
Yeah, right.
So I can go one more inning.
Well, that kind of scares me sometimes.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, they're gonna have to monitor him. Sometimes you have to keep the player from themselves a little bit.
Josh was down there watching here from Bridge Booktober. He says the one day down in Sarasota, his changeup was missing arm side, and that's literally all he could say. I mean, I think that's about all I've heard. So, like, yeah, you could do a lot worse than just missing with the changeup a little bit, right? I mean, the point being, I think Jones is close, like, to competing and actually winning a spot here very early on. And I think Skeens probably is too. And Neil, I think that might have changed their philosophy on going out and getting somebody else, even though I still think that might be reckless. What do you think?
I don't know if they're going to acquire anyone else at this point. I mean, the whole thing with Skeens, I think it's more of a money reason, because if he does turn out to be the pitcher that has been widely touted, we've been hearing comparing him to Steven Strasburg, and, you know, because then he could possibly be an extension candidate, because if he makes the opening day roster, then he's going to be a free agent in 2028. And then, so, I mean, are we mad that they're probably going to be on, they haven't really gotten another starter? I would say, yeah. I mean, Lorenzen, I think, as far as I know, is still available. But, you know, I think one thing you said, or I've heard you say, Gary, is the rotation is going to be weak to start the season. I mean, I think that's going to be one area. I think we can sort of see that coming. But I think as the year goes on, it's going to start to look a little more promising. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I'll let you.
I think it has to go. It has to get a little more promising, Jim, or we're in a lot of trouble. Well, Neil, I know you're an advocate for getting somebody. I know you are, and I am too. I still think we should get one.
I still think we should get Lorenzen, especially if he's innings, still available.
For the innings alone, I think they should, Jim, because
I agree. Worry
about the end of the season.
I agree.
These guys are all going to be like stretching out to 150 plus for the first time.
Yeah.
Ever.
I don't know what's
left come September.
That's the other thing is, when you're talking about young guys, is they're going to keep an eye on their innings pitched, whether that's Jones, whether that's Skeens at some point, whether that's somebody else. I just look at it as, you've lost Moretta. Lorenzen's the perfect kind of guy that you can figure out where he best fits as the season goes. If you feel like you're getting a little more starting pitching than you thought, great. It's an insurance policy to help eat innings and protect some arms that you might not want to stress as much as you might have to if you don't have enough of it.
Yeah, I mean, because conspiracy theory time, man, for Skeens, I think you build him up slowly, and I think it'll frustrate the crap out of him. So they better walk a line with it, because I could see them going, okay, four innings. And then, oh, you can go five now, Paul. If you're good enough, if you don't struggle and you don't have any really fatiguing innings, you can have five. And, you know, that'll be another couple of weeks. And then, oh, maybe we'll let him touch six, right? And then they slow walk this thing out. So he's finally pitching like six, seven innings come what? May, June. And then he's ready. And that might be the way they bank innings so that he's got innings left to give towards the end. It's not an entirely stupid way to do it, but I think it would frustrate the crap out of him because that kid wants to work. You know what I mean?
he is going to pitch as much as they allow him to. And that's the other thing, even with Jared Jones, if let's say he does make the opening day rosters in the rotation, you're going to have to be careful with him too. I mean, you're starting him opening, not an opening day, but he's on the roster. What do you think he's going to throw 180 innings this year? I mean, it's just not, They're just not going to do that with him. And Josh from Bridge to Bucktober talking about Falter has looked exactly like I thought he would. Maybe worse.
Bail on Falter.
So
still early, but not buying or selling it. Yeah, because Josh has to hedge his bet. So I'll skip all that. But Bailey Falter looks even worse. It's real bad because that's really the meat and potatoes of that statement.
I'm not going to argue against that.
And from what I understand with Lorenzen, the last I saw is he's looking for a 2-year deal. You can get creative with that too. I think it's a mistake to go in and hope that a lot of things go well, especially with guys like Ortiz, Contreras, and Priester, when we're still just not sure.
Yeah, it's been a weird spring because there's like three guys in particular that I think everybody is banking on to take one of those two spots, right? So you got like Rowanza, you got Priester, you got Ortiz. I think we've seen Ortiz look pretty good.
Yeah.
Still struggling with the control. The velocity is where it should be. Part of me almost just says, let him just be the pitcher he is. Because every time they try to rein in his control, they kill his strikeout and swing and miss ability, which is what makes him sexy to begin with. So part of me is like, if you're going to trot him out there, just let Luis Ortiz be Luis Ortiz. Deal with the walks. Live with it. See how it goes. Right? Quinn Priester, if he wants to throw all off-speed shit, let him throw all off-speed shit. Quit worrying about it then. You know, quit trying to force feed him to throw a fastball if he's not going to do it. You know, let him be a Zach Davies if that's what he wants to be for his career. You know, it'll either get him here or it won't. And Rowanzi, same thing. Let him miss the zone. Let him walk guys.
If it were up to me right now, I'd be leaning putting Contreras in the bullpen, and I would be leaning starting Ortiz. I think that suits maybe them both a little better at this point. I think Contreras might have a little further to go than we had hoped. You could kind of pick your spots there a little bit better. That's the way I would lean. And Gary, I don't think it's a bad idea to just start telling guys, you know, hey, what are you comfortable with, or asking them and just saying like, okay, we're going to figure it out. If you want to pitch to what you think your strengths are, I'm willing to listen. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little bit like torn on that, brother. Like, I don't see Rowanzi as a good bullpen guy. I don't see there being room in this bullpen to stash a guy. He's either got what it takes to be a pitcher on this staff or he doesn't. That to me is the thing for Contreras.
Let me clarify that.
If he's not a starter, DFAing him.
Let me clarify what I meant as to start the season. And I'd like to see Contreras just get a little bit more comfortable with the hopes that then you can reinsert him. So that to me is a big thing that I kind of left out there. So Gary, I don't think we're that far off on the line of thinking. It's just from the beginning that's how I would set it up.
I mean, I guess, Neil, what would you do with Rowanzi if he can't make it as a starter? Would you put him in the bullpen?
Well, and I was reading an article on it. I mean, him and Bailey Falter have the most to lose versus Paul Skeens and Jared Jones, that if they don't make this rotation, because the Pirates are at a stage where they can't really afford to thin their depth, that they risk probably being put up on waivers. Now, some people probably would disagree with me on that, but now that Moretta's gone, I mean, after I heard about Moretta when he went down and he was complaining about his elbow, those who know baseball really well, when they're complaining about the elbow way he is, that's probably going to be Tommy John surgery. So yeah, it's either put Bailey Falter in the bullpen, which I would wish they would just cut Bailey Falter right now, or, you know, you could maybe put Ruanzi Contreras in there, and he maybe yet saves him from being put up on waivers and being claimed by someone like the Oakland A's or something like that. You know, that make, yeah.
I mean, I agree with all of that, but I think I wouldn't involve Jones and Skeens in every conversation about this rotation. I just, right now, I think you have to deal with,
I agree,
those guys that are on expiring contracts. Bailey Falter, for me, has worked himself out of this conversation altogether. He was already out for me where we started.
I agree.
he made it really easy for me to stay there, I would say, Jim.
Yeah.
And as far as some of the NRIs, I don't think we've seen Big Pants Chase Anderson yet, have we? I don't know if we have.
I don't recall it.
And if an NRI hasn't gotten going yet, they're not going to get going. So there's no reason to worry about that. Willie Peralta has kind of stepped in and done some things. I think he's looked okay. That's another option there. You could, you know, have eat some innings for you if you want.
Yeah. He's a nice guy to have if they could stash him too. He seems to always find a way to like stick around and weasel back into someone's pitching staff. So that would be a nice guy to have. The Moretta thing to me though, you know, it sucks, man. He was really last year, when you look at his numbers, yeah, he had a little bit of a stretch there where he kind of lost the feel of things, but overall his numbers were really, really strong. And that's 60 innings right there that they got to replace that are really, you know, when you're coming in and trying to hold games and pitching and in some leverage situations, boy, I just hope we don't have to hear anything more about another guy or two having an issue, because it starts to domino real quick on you. I mean, as we saw.
Okay.
It's constantly brought up like that, you know, they've had this rash of Tommy John surgeries, and they have had a lot recently, Jim. These high spin, high velocity guys, man, it's just epidemic in this game right now. Dowry Moretta, though, as soon as his arm was hanging there like that, and they said shoulder, it was like, elbow. I mean, I was like, I'm done. I know what it is. And even what they said the other day, I'm not even going to bother reading their quotes. But just if you watch this team long enough,
I mean,
it'll be under the knife in a couple days.
So. The other thing, though, if I'm allowed to speak on that, is just unfortunately, this is a common injury for pitchers too much. I mean, Lucas Giolito from the Red Sox, I saw he has to get it now. Felix Bautista from the Orioles just had to get it last year, especially late last year, too. So, I mean, but I think the Pirates have
Burrows and Brubaker coming back from it. And James and Tylan had two of them. It's been going on for a long time. I don't know if anybody has even come close to finding a solution for it. Jim, we've tried to talk to experts about this before.
Yeah.
He has an answer. So I don't think we're going to solve that here.
No, that was another guy. Moretta's not the biggest guy in the world. Throws that slider. It's a lot of pressure on that arm, that elbow. And his slider usage almost doubled, I think, when he came to the Pirates, which, I think some teams just say, hey, look, this is how he's going to be effective. We can get this out of him. And truthfully, then you just kind of cross your fingers and hope for the best.
Yeah, it's unfortunately. Been
unfortunately.
Let's move into the we're at a conversation a little bit though, Jim, because that bullpen, it is a strength still. But it's what that does is I think it assures like Jose Hernandez gets the spot and that I thought he might have used an option to send him down with all the lefties they have. But he's too quality of an arm to send down now without Moretta. You've got to have somebody that can eat up those middle innings too. It can't just all be the back end studs, right? So who else is in the running? Any of the NRIs? I mean, I like Honeywell a little bit so far. We haven't seen Heller. What do you think? Anybody leading the charge there?
Nobody jumps out at me. I mean, and then we've got what? Three
Fleming
weeks,
hasn't been good.
No. But, yeah.
They've got Honeywell's been good.
They got 3 weeks to figure some of that stuff out. I hope that they give some of these guys a little bit more opportunity just so I can see them. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see what I want to see, and I want to give them a chance to earn it. Whereas, you know, these 3 weeks are going to get away from them really quick. And my guess is it's going to give somebody an opportunity. And I would have loved to have kept Hernandez out of the mix right away. I just thought that for him developmentally, it would have been a good thing. But what can you do? I mean, if he's the guy that looks best suited for it, maybe you just have to go roll the dice and say, well, he handled it okay last year. He'll handle it again this year.
I mean, Hunter Stratton's looked pretty good. You know, he's a guy that they had to DFA earlier and bring back. But I don't think Colin Selby has done himself any favors. I don't think Kyle Nicholas has done himself any favors. One of their best arms, like I think they want to explore more as a starter, but Braxton Ashcraft is a guy that could probably come up and give you some of that really much needed like stopper stuff. I mean, that's another option there, right, Jim?
He's a guy that popped into my head. The only thing that worries me with him is obviously, I mean, he's still just 24 years old. He's had some injuries. But again, I do come back to this idea of if you're pitching well and you've looked like you've earned it, can we start giving some of these guys an opportunity? You know, Ashcraft is somebody that I would absolutely entertain if he finishes the spring like he has started it.
I would agree. What do you think, Neil?
Well, that's the whole idea of spring training. I mean, it's like you don't really want to take these the games too seriously, but it's an opportunity for these guys to stand out. I mean, as of right now, to replace Jose, as of right now for Moretta, I mean, Jose Hernandez seems like the only viable option. But if, say, like Jim said, Ashcraft really stands out, Honeywell stands out, give them a shot. I mean, if this is their opportunity to really
get some breaking news. Yeah. Here from Brendan Zielinski says Eric Lauer just signed with the Pirates minor league deal per Ken Rosenthal. And then he corrected it and said the deal is close. So I guess a minor league deal now is being reported as close to, which is hilarious, right? Eric Lauer, though, he's just, he would just be depth, I would imagine. I can't imagine you'd be trying to give him a spot. That said, Jim, that could be a direct answer to losing Moretta, because Eric Lauer is that type of guy.
Yeah, he another lefty. I don't know that, you know, we went from having no lefties to having 74 of them. I don't understand how that quite happens in, you know, less than a calendar year. But it wasn't.
They learned their lesson, Jim.
I guess.
Now they have multiple lefties. We yelled so much about not having any lefties that they finally got their act together.
This is the equivalent of having a player's coach in football and it goes wrong. And then you go get the disciplinarian right afterwards because you just go completely the opposite way. He wasn't very good last year. So let's just leave it at that.
It's 100% that.
Yeah.
I think all in all, though, the biggest question I have we kind of started with it. I just wanted to circle back to it. It does really feel like the Pirates have kind of changed their mind a little bit. They're not going to go out and get anything, I don't think, at this point. Feels like they've been impressed by some of their youngsters, or feel they've gotten some guys on the right track enough that they're probably just going to go with what they have. What scares me, and Martin Perez did nothing to make me feel he wasn't an answer. He looked great in his outing. I'd love to just see more of him. He was dominant.
I agree.
Loved everything he did.
On the flip side, Marco, you know,
getting there, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you got to say?
When you get all these ifs for pitchers, right? You're really hoping to maybe hit on one, maybe if you're super lucky too. And they've got like the ifs, right? You've had the Gonzalez, the Perez's, then you've got your young guys like Ortiz and Priester and Contreras. You're really fortunate if you can get one or two out of that. And I don't know that we know exactly where they are in that process.
Right.
If they're for sure.
I think what I can say, and Neil, I'll give you a shot here too, but I think what I can say about it is they probably have a lot of those same concerns. But I think the way Jones has performed and the way they think Skeens is going to perform, I think they feel they have two guys already that they want to call up, waiting to see what fallout comes from this initial five. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think we already discussed, we think that's probably a mistake. We'd go out and fortify it a little bit. But they're not going to do that. It doesn't look like to me is what I'm saying. So I don't know, Neil. What do you think, brother?
I mean, right now, I want to see a little more of Gonzalez at this point. I mean, yes, if Jared Jones has earned his way into this rotation, I mean, I'm not going to stop him from being there. But right now, we've only seen Gonzalez pitch once for the first time since, what, May last year?
Is that what he was doing?
Yeah.
It didn't look like it. No, it didn't look like it when he was.
I thought maybe he was using the other arm.
But I'd like to really see it a little more. I'd like to see him pick how he does. In fact, I think he's scheduled to pitch tomorrow against the Braves. I'd like to see him pitch a little more before I say, does he deserve a spot in this rotation or does he not? But I'll let you
know. Oh, he's getting the spot. He's getting the spot, my friend. I'm just saying, like, I don't know if we can count on him yet. And the reason is the same reason we were concerned about him, Jim. We were concerned about him as being somebody they counted on because of what he just went through with his injury. He hadn't pitched in a really long time. You're really, really hoping that somehow history repeats itself and he finds that fountain of youth and he's able to come out and perform. He's a soft toster, so you kind of give it a little bit of like, this might happen, right? And then you see him in his first spring outing and I don't care what he was working on. It just wasn't an encouraging thing to see.
No, it wasn't.
You can see through it sometimes if you're just looking for like the shape of a pitch and, oh, he's just got to hone it in. But man, it just didn't look right to me. I didn't like what I saw.
Well, I mean, if I had a dollar for every time, you know, a team thought that they could get something out of a soft tossing lefty, if they can just, you know, find some of their old form again, I'd probably be a rich guy, you know, because the problem with that is they have to be so good with the other thing, which is the control, the changing speeds, keeping hitters off balance. And because they have to have it, they cannot survive without anything else. They cannot do it.
Yeah.
And that is a super hard thing to do consistently throughout a season, let alone year to year in Major League Baseball. So I think that's why you see guys like that. Yeah, they might have a little stretch where they can be effective that way. To do it long term, living that way, man, that's really difficult to do.
It really is. We're gonna see it play out. We need to take another break. When we come back, We're going to talk a little bit about our pitching again, because the Call Your Shot's about pitching. That's why it's called Arms, Arms, Arms this week.
Pitching heavy, baby.
Yep, yep, yep.
DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores. Track the latest stats. Chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
Every Stearns & Foster mattress is handcrafted with the finest materials for irresistible comfort every single night. Now, save up to $800 on select adjustable mattress sets only at stearnsandfoster.com. Lesser savings may apply.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let me just throw one more thing out there about Marco Gonzalez. That is either going to be the Pirates got such a great, what a great job they did, or it's going to look bad. And I really don't think there's going to be a lot in between there. So prepare yourselves for one or the other, because I don't think it's going to be in the middle.
I think something to me is they're trying to maybe do something like they did with San Francisco Liriano, who was a rehab project. But I don't know if I'm not 100% sure if I can really say this for sure, if Oscar Marin is as good as who's the pitching coach back then? Ray Searage. Yeah. If he was good as Ray Searage to work with a pitcher who is essentially a rehab project.
Yeah, I mean, I think a rehab project that's a different kind of rehab, though. I think this is a health rehab, which is a lot different than like trying to teach somebody to accentuate something that had gotten away from them. This is a guy that was hurt. You know, he just needs to get back to being what he is. And is he physically capable of doing so? That's kind of the question. Also, welcome back to the show that Jim hijacked right away. Like, he had me at gunpoint. He was so upset about what he had to say about Marco.
I'm sorry. Sorry about that, Gary.
No, Marco Gonzalez, though, he's definitely going to be a pivot point for whether this thing can look passable at the beginning or not. Because if he's not, Boy, I think it puts some pressure to start calling those kids up a lot earlier, because we talked about, like, hey, Rwanzi or Ortiz don't make it. Well, maybe Marco don't make it.
Right.
So, I mean, and let's not act like they're paying the guy $20 million. They're not. He's very cuttable. So, like,
yeah, he's cuttable, but I think they're just gonna pray for the best. And if he does pitch tomorrow, boy, that'll be interesting, because if he has another bad outing, alarm bells start to go off a little bit for a guy when he's coming back from health related stuff.
Yeah. I want to say one more thing before we get to the call your shot, because I think Jim just almost crept into something that I think I've heard an awful lot of, and it's they won't do blah 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 with guy X. Okay, they won't do this with Jared Jones. Blah. They won't do this with Skeens. Blah. They won't do this with. I mean, there's a lot more talent on this team right this second than there was 2 years ago when what you were saying was completely true. It's not anymore. Now there are alternatives if Marco Gonzalez sucks, and there is enough good around that they can't afford to just let him suck. So what you think they will do, I don't know if you need to be like, will they call some, they just look what they just did with Henry. Yeah, they will. They will call up a guy super early. They will do things that they don't normally do. I think we need to maybe readjust what they always do, you know? And Jim, you know that too, because you stopped your own self from saying it.
Yeah. Well, for me, this time I look at it as not so much of what they've done, but in the past, because it is changing and it will have to, is that they have the clear need right now to, at least at the beginning of the season, at least let him sink or swim in some games. I think they went out for a purpose and got him. They will see that part of it through with him specifically.
Yeah. I think he's definitely going to get a shot. My point is, I don't think they're going to let this grape die on the vine before they make some kind of wine.
No,
you know what I mean?
No. Like they're not going to run the corpse of somebody out there for, you right, know, right. four months and just, they're not going to change that mentality. I think they have the fact that we're having the Jared Jones conversation gives you an indication that they have changed that line of thinking a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking back 2 years to what the options were if they had injuries to the starting rotation to be called up. And there weren't any. And right. This year, there sure are. You know, and a couple that you almost feel bad even thinking about not starting them up here. So,
sure.
I mean, I think we're just in a different place. And I'm going to leave room mentally, at least, for that to be the case, that they're going to do some weird things because they're in a different place.
I hate the Burroughs things. I really wish we had him in the mix right now.
Yeah, me too. And Brubaker for that matter. But that sucks. I think both of them could wind up being really important those late innings though this year.
So yeah,
let's look forward to that at least. Time for Call Your Shot, brought to you by our friends at Yinz. You guys all know that we love them. And we've got all kinds of gear down there. And Call Your Shot, the winner always gets now a 10% off code from us. And then when you reach out to Yinz to tell them that you have called your shot, Taylor will provide you a $10 gift card. You can use this stuff on anything at the store. You don't have to buy our merchandise. You can buy anything you like. And they have lots of really cool Pittsburgh stuff. So do so. All right, this week I cheated a little bit. I stole a question from my Q&A because I absolutely thought it would get us talking. I thought it was a really, really cool subject. Only 44 MLB pitchers in 2023 pitched 162 or more innings. Is the line between starter, middle reliever, and once through the lineup opener becoming more muddled? Does this trend help the Pirates given their apparently deep bullpen? This is from Mark Graham. He always asks good questions. So I wanted to just add to him. And I just think it's a great question, Jim, because trended. Rob Manfred has noticed that the league is trending in that direction and wants to put the kibosh on it. At some point, these two worlds are going to collide because it's unmistakable. The league goes all it goes to a shorter outing starting. Where are we?
Yeah. The players, you would tell you they're not in a good spot with it, I'm sure. Teams are trying to look. Starters are just becoming harder and harder, I think, to find and reliable ones. So if teams can work, I mean, you're seeing this out of need, right? I mean, it's born out of a need. And so teams are going to try to cover innings the best way that they know how. And if you can only get three or four innings out of a guy, but you can start him, you'll do it if you have to. You know what I mean? So yeah. I don't know what the answer is. I think it is changing how teams go about things, but I don't know what that answer is. I don't know how you get around. It's a need, and teams are going to fill it.
Just talked about how TJs are up everywhere, you know, like everybody's having the surgery now and you're losing guys left and right. So
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, Neil, you're a fan, you've been watching baseball. You just recently came back to the game. So you kind of transported yourself into a different time where starting pitchers don't do what starting pitchers used to do. You don't look at that marquee matchup anymore and go, "All right." You just know that's going to be how the game starts, and maybe by the fourth or fifth inning, you're going to see different pitchers.
Neil,
is that your perception?
Out of curiosity, Neil, how long were you away from the game?
About a few years. So, I mean, about a few years. But
so pitchers, so you're not like Austin Powers waking up three decades later in baseball.
No.
Things are so massively different that you couldn't even recognize the sport.
No.
Chapman in the fourth inning, Doug, and that's veteran respect so that he can go to the clubhouse early. That has nothing to do with. In spring training, that's all that is. So he can go to the clubhouse early. Go ahead, Neil.
With pitchers, it's kind of a crapshoot. I mean, it's sometimes hit or miss. Sometimes pitchers can maybe look really good somewhere. Maybe they don't. And, you know, they're going to have to find ways to get what they can out of pitchers. Because, I mean, we see how essential it is to winning the game. You want to prevent your opponent from driving in runs. So, I mean, like Jim said, if maybe this is, you're only going to get three or four innings out of this pitcher and then they're going to make a pitching change. Sometimes it's going to have to do. I mean, look, the Pirates had to go finish last year with only two traditional starters, Keller and Oviedo. And then the rest were all bullpen games, but they did well.
I think that's why Pirates fans in particular are paying really close attention to this, Jim, because last year we got a little bit of a taste of that and it made it feel like that might be what they want to do. But that's not what they're growing. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm a little confused if that is something that they want to do, or is it basically just a coach coaching what he has? You know, coaching the talent you have, man. Like that's what works. It's what we got right now. So that's the way we're going to do it. But we'd prefer to have a guy that goes eight innings.
I think that's just, Gary, you nailed it right there, which is like, yes, they want to have the starting pitching come up, be successful, grow that. But you got to do what you got to do in the moment, right? You know, so I think that's what it is ideally, this is what you want. It's not here. It's not here yet. So you figure out a way to get it done. The other thing that I will bring up with this whole conversation is, you know, if baseball is concerned about this, well, they're not too concerned about it because they're trying to add two more teams to the mix. And we're going to be dealing with two expansion teams not too far down the road. Right. And if you think the pitching is diluted now, and especially starting pitching, well, go ahead and add two more teams into this mix with everything else we've talked about. and then see how it looks. It's going to trend more that way if baseball isn't careful.
Let's see. Mark Helmer says, so many Pirates pitchers getting Tommy John surgery. Who's to blame? God. He did not design the human body properly to throw a baseball overhead. So,
and I don't know.
Like, I don't know what to say.
Shane McClanahan from the Tampa Bay Rays just had to get it last year.
Yeah, it's, and Shane Boz.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere. I don't know where the Pirates fall on that list of who's had to deal with it more. But I suggest that even that would be happenstance from year to year. Because like Gary said,
they're throwing harder.
Yeah.
They're throwing with more spin. I just don't think that maybe this isn't as much of a mystery as we want it to be. You know, I know that the radar guns have come along in technology. Somebody told me a while ago that Nolan Ryan threw just as hard as Justin Verlander. It was a completely different machine back then. You know what I mean? Like, so I think somebody told me Don Drysdale. You tell me Don Drysdale wasn't throwing just as hard as Roger Clemens.
Bull.
You know? I think that there's some merit to that. Technology has moved along and we kind of know a little bit better.
Awesome.
102 was not something that just about every team had, and just about every team has it now in spades. Two or three guys doing it. And if you're throwing that hard, and you're throwing 2,700 RPMs, like, dude, you're going to do things to your body because it's not meant to do that. So
one of the things that I think has changed is teams, and even way back in the day, there were ways to add velocity, right? But now they've gotten really, really good at adding even more velocity throughout the training and how that they're able to pull more of that out of you. So before, when you saw guys, and I'm talking, 20, 30 years ago, you're adding 2 to 3 mile per hour velocity, and that was considered like the uptick. Well, now you're seeing guys where they're able to get them in there, and you're talking adding 7, 8, 9 miles per hour velocity. And Gary, when we talked to Eric Minshaw, he talked about for every mile per hour you go up. And I want to get that specifically from him. I'm going to have to go DM him about this, about how much extra force 1 mile per hour is on the elbow and the arm.
Yeah. And
so go from 2 to 3 miles per hour to now you're, milking 7, 8, 9 miles per hour out of guys. I do think that there's literally a breaking point with that.
Yeah, like Josh here says, or no, that's not Josh. Sorry. There have always been freaks. Now it's 90% throwing over 95. True. I remember being excited when guys would get called up. This is when I was much younger, obviously. And I'm old, so that's a long time ago. But when I was much younger, guys would get called up and you would hear that they could throw 90. That was something that people would talk about. Oh, this guy hit 90. And you'd be like, oh my God, 90. Now you hear somebody hits 90 and you're like, oh, he's got a candy arm. He's never going to make it in this league. Right?
He's Marco Gonzalez.
That said, how do you convince a pitcher? Like, we talk about like what's the problem is. I think we can all agree they're throwing super hard. They're throwing a ton of spin. There's other ways to get guys out. You don't have to do that. Is it about maybe only touching 100 every once in a while when you really need it? Maybe. Or a guy like Paul Skenes, throwing 100 may not be that hard. He's huge.
Yeah.
And, the leverage and really it may just naturally he might throw at 93, 94. You know what I mean? So maybe for a guy like him, it's not that taxing. Maybe for a guy like Garrett Cole, it's not that taxing. Jared Jones, everything in his body has to spin at the exact right time to hit that.
Yeah, I just think that, and that's where some of the size concerns come in with guys is like, yeah, you can do it, but should you live at 96 and 95? And then when you need to go get it, then you can crank it up to 98 if you want to. I think there's
that'd
just
be my big question though. How do you talk guys out of doing it?
Yeah, that's the temptation, right? You How can you not give your best stuff when it's time? You know, and most of the time you feel like it's all the time you need to use your best stuff.
And hitters have gotten better too. Let's not forget, you know, their training's gotten better too. They know what's going on. Yeah. Their bats are huge. You know, they know how to chase balls better than they ever have and track them and prepare for them and beat the tar out of them when they get them. So I don't know that you can encourage guys to just learn how to be crafty veterans that can get away with 93 mile an hour like they used to, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see the game in 10 years from now and 20 years from now and see what it looks like compared, you know, to the 10 and 20 years prior.
Yeah.
And to see just how much of this is just the way it's going to be, or will it be teams starting to figure it out that you don't have to just power, 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 whether yeah. it's power at the plate, power on the mound, or can you get back to having ways to beat your opponent without always having to go to that specifically?
Like Vegas says here, Maddux won how many Cy Young awards? Get that. You get the Nolan Ryan used to throw hard to. You get people love to do that. Maddux, he wouldn't win one today, I bet. And I mean, he got twice the strike zone that most players got. You know, like just he would work it slowly off the plate, inch by inch, and get the umpire to just move and move and move. And you wouldn't get that kind of patience nowadays. And he doesn't have a heater to keep people off of his stuff anymore. Guys would catch up to it. Would he still be a good pitcher? Yeah. Do I think he'd be like as unstoppable and unhittable as he was? Not with that velocity. Not in this game. Not anymore. Ballparks are different too. Like it used to be hard to hit home runs, like at some of those like cookie cutter parks, like Three Rivers and, you know, the Veterans Stadium and Cincinnati's old stadium. You'd have to rope balls to get them up over those high walls out there. Like, I just think it's a different game. You can look back in history and think things like that, but I don't think it's the same game, man. Like, just I don't think Babe Ruth would come up here and hit 70 home runs either.
No, I think too, like, it's very hard. Baseball is one of those ones where it's super, it's just everything's gotten, the training's gotten better, the size, the speed, athleticism, all that. It's very hard to compare eras. And baseball has a very particular mindset now of how they want to go about pitchers going about things and hitters. And it just looks totally different. Totally different.
It does.
All right, Neil, you wanted to give us a lineup because you were all excited from listening to the show.
Do you mind if I give you one thing to add in? So that one comment, how many Pirates pitchers had Tommy John surgery? Well, my dad and I, when we were watching MLB Network last year, the Rockies had four pitchers that all had to get Tommy John surgery. And, you know, it's just the nature of the game. Now, my dad and I think, and I said this initially, my dad agreed, and he's been watching baseball a lot longer than I have. I think one of these days they're going to come up with some sort of revolutionary solution where Tommy John surgery, rather than it being a 14-month recovery, that maybe it could be something like maybe when Kyle Schwarber tore his ACL, you could be back in like 4 months. Now, I mean, you guys can tell me if you agree with that or not. And when you guys were mentioning how the hitters have gotten better and how it wasn't as easy to hit home runs, well, look at Kyle Schwarber. Sometimes all he has to do is just flick the bat. He doesn't have to step into it and turn his hips.
Well, 40 years, you might not come back from it at all. So obviously medical advancements, yeah, they can happen. Maybe one day we'll have like Star Trek and they just lay in a booth and get their their legs zapped and everything's fine and they jump right back on the field.
I'm sure every
sport is trying to figure that stuff out.
But I don't see how, Neil, I'll be honest with you, I don't see how they're going to cut it down. There's just only so much medically you can do to speed up something that's so critical to performing the function that you need. Like, you know, when you're talking like Achilles injuries for running backs or, you know, Tommy John for pitchers, like, man, I think they've done everything they can. You might see some small advancements, but, you know, those things need time to heal. You just need time to heal and strengthen it.
Plus, a pitcher can miss time for a hangnail and be out for a month because you have to build them back up. And like blisters. That's the struggle. Like, if you don't pitch for 4 months, it's going to take you 3 or 4 months to build back up to the point where you can handle a workload. So even if you can fix the injury issue, you're still going to have the timing of the recovery, unless it turns into the Star Trek thing, which, you know, if I believe in wormholes and ancient aliens, I'll go along with that as well. And, you know, I have no problem going there. So, Neil, give me your lineup before I back out of it altogether.
All right. And we'll do it. We'll do it. But yes. So thank you,
Neil. Neil, it better be good from the start, man. But don't get all crazy on us here.
All right. So, and I'm going to go with O'Neill Cruz leading off at, obviously, at shortstop. Brian Reynolds at left, second at left field, because that's what he's always done. I'm going to go with Key Brian Hayes at third, because he just seemed to batted better. Sawinski at four at center field. Kutch at DH for five. I'm going to say Henry Davis at six for catcher. Rowdy Tellez at seven for first. Eight, it's whether I we're still trying to figure out the second base battle, whether it's Triolo or
you have to figure it out. That's part of the job.
Yeah, but I'm gonna go Triolo right now because I like how he's just a really good hitter. And then nine, I'm gonna probably maybe go with Edward Oliveras, unless Connor Joe can take that spot. You guys can chime in and say what you think, but that's how I would go about it.
I think that's very close to what they'll do.
Mm-hmm. I think that was good, man. If they rolled that lineup out, I could definitely imagine that. So,
aside from Tellez, really, right now, you could almost play Yahtzee with this lineup and be okay.
You mean like just
you could just put all their names in a cup and roll them out in whatever order they come out in. You could probably be okay.
Well,
without Tellez.
I think people think Shelton does that already, Gary.
I think they definitely think that. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, for real, if I did that with this mix of players right now, it's not the same as it was in 2021, where you're going like, ugh. You know, like there was no good mix there. There may be no bad mix here, is what I'm saying.
I think the only thing that I would be remain static right now for me is I'm fully on board with Cruz at one and Reynolds at two. And then after that, I'll listen. I really will. So that's to your point.
All right. One more topic, because I just feel like we need to talk a little bit of offense, right? Just a little bit of offense.
Man, this has been pitching heavy, but it's so important.
It is very important.
I think the last one I want to touch on is Henry. Okay. Henry, to me, man, he's talk about checking boxes. There's nothing wrong with the catching. Nothing. Nothing.
Yeah, I haven't heard a damn thing. I haven't.
He caught Keller last night. It was fine. There's just nothing there. There's just no excuse. And the bat, I mean, I don't see them sending arguably their best offensive player right now, as he's performed in spring anyway, to the minors. Don't see it.
I don't think that that's a concern. I was pretty bullish on Henry coming into this year. Nothing I have seen so far has caused me to back off of that. Clearly, I was bullish on him. I put him at cleanup in the lineup. I think he's going to have a good year. I really do.
Well, the funniest thing is going to be watching how people don't change their mind at all. They'll just say, like, basically that he changed the Pirates' mind. Like, they'll make up some incentive the Pirates had to send him down, like, it's just so they can still be mad, right? I think he's won the job. I really do.
I mean, honestly, I think I agree with everything you guys have said. I mean, he's just I think for me, he's done everything that they told him to do. The catching, the hitting has looked good versus Nick Gonzalez, who looks about the same as last year. You know?
Yeah. Nick Gonzalez, boy, there are some people that just want to write him all the way off, Jim. And I think it's mostly because of the plethora of stuff coming. So we'll have to talk more about the offensive side next week, because we really did just get pitching crazy this week. And we got to end the show at a reasonable time because Ben's got hockey and stuff. Yeah, next week, I'm going to be in Bradenton.
That's right.
So I'm going to do a special show at some point during the week, and that'll be fun. I'm going to be at this showcase, this prospect showcase. I am so excited for it. I can't wait. We're going to do our show on Friday next week. Jim and I will figure out the exact time. But we're going to do our show some point on Friday instead of Thursday next week, because I'm going to be traveling, and I just don't want anything to get in my way on Thursday. I'm having a fan moment, so just give me it.
No, like, dude, we talked about this already. I was like, man, that's a cool thing to be able to sit and watch and just take it in. So it and we rip on baseball. This is a cool thing.
Yeah, it's a really cool thing
that they're doing.
I'm excited to be there. I hope I don't run into anybody from ESPN that I don't like.
Good luck.
Neil, you did good, man.
Thank you. And I hope I can get another opportunity to do this with you guys again. It was fun.
Sure, man. As the season rolls on, we'll definitely do so. All right, everybody. We're going to go ahead and toss it off to our buddy Ben like we always do. And hopefully there'll be audio this week. I'm not 100% sure what happened last week, but if not, video is always here one way or another.
Let's go, Buck!
Yeah, buddy.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Every Stearns & Foster mattress is handcrafted with the finest materials for irresistible comfort every single night. Now, save up to $800 on select adjustable mattress sets only at stearnsandfoster.com. Lesser savings may apply.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.